Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings call of Equitas Small Finance Bank Limited's financial performance for Q4 FY22. We have with us today Mr. P. N. Vasudevan, MD and CEO, Mr. Sridharan N., CFO, Mr. Murali Vaidyanathan, Senior President and Country Head, Branch Banking, Liabilities, Product and Wealth, Mr. Rohit Phadke, Senior President and Head Assets, Mr. Natarajan M., President and Head Treasury, Mr. Dheeraj M., SVP and Head Strategy, IR, BI and Customer Experience, Ms. Rahul Rajagopalan, DVP Strategy and IR, and Ms. Srimathi Raghunathan, CFO, Equitas Holdings Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. P. N. Vasudevan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for taking your time out to be with us today. On the environment, the macro environment has lots of challenges in the form of supply side issues and geopolitical issues. However, within that, in India, we see robust demand and high level of business activity. The GST collections month after month continues to touch record levels. Inflation remains at elevated levels, probably as a combination of both higher demand and supply side issues. RBI intervention. As we know, yesterday RBI has raised the repo rate by 40 basis points and CRR by 50 basis points. The general expectation is that RBI might raise the repo rate further, could be around another 50 basis points sometime during the rest of the year. So what would this be on the impact of Equitas? In Equitas, around 15% of our book is linked to the repo rate, while the rest, which are small ticket loans, are of fixed rate in nature. Our average asset duration is only around 2.5 years. As these loans get repaid, they would be redeployed at the current rates. As far as our deposit rates are concerned, we would follow the market, and if our cost of funds goes up, we would look to pass it on to the borrowers, trying to keep the impact on the bank's net yields neutral. Asset quality. On asset quality, I am happy to note that the overall asset quality has improved over the last two quarters. The credit cost of our non-restructured book for the fourth quarter is at 1.25% annualized, which is in line with our pre-COVID times. As for the restructured book is concerned, as we mentioned earlier, the billing for all the restructured books started in the third quarter. Wherever customers were unable to come out of their stress, that book has already become NPA by March 22. On the remaining non-NPA book of the restructured loans, we believe there is hardly any further deterioration likely based on metrics which Rohit would share shortly. We had guided for a 2.5% credit cost for FY22, and our actual credit cost is very close to that. We now believe that the credit cost for FY23 would be about 1.5%, and going further forward, we believe it should taper down to a regular level of around 1.1 to 1.2% per annum. Growth. We had guided after the second wave that we would be looking at a growth of about 15% for the last year, and the actual growth is in line with the same. As you are all aware, 90% of our lending is to the informal sector, where the demand for credit remains very high and supply continues to remain very low. We have seen this play out in the fourth quarter, where we disbursed the highest quarterly disbursement ever, beating the previous highest of the second quarter. For the current year, we expect to get back to our more regular growth rate of around 30% per annum. Digital foray. Our early digital customer acquisition programs have done very well, helping us acquire significantly large number of new customers. And to our pleasant surprise, we have also seen a healthy 7% of our savings balance coming in from these digitally sourced accounts. We have put in place many initiatives, which Murali will explain later, to work on further conversion and leveraging of digitally sourced accounts to make it contribute further to the values. We are working on creating a platform for both acquiring and servicing, as well as cross-selling to customers on a wider range of products and services. Given our success so far, I believe we will be able to roll out a platform which will significantly enhance the capabilities of the bank. I'll be sharing greater details of the same in my next quarter communication. In conclusion, with asset quality back on track, continuous decline in our cost of funds, a strong CASA franchise, and a team which has delivered high growth in the past, I believe we are set for a robust performance going forward. Thank you, and over to Rohit.
Can you hear us?
Hello.
Yeah. Yes. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Advances grew by 15% year-on-year and 5% quarter-on-quarter. We've seen a very strong growth in March. We did an all-time high disbursement of 1,390 crores in the month of March. See, historically, we've always grown pre-COVID levels. We've always grown at about 35%. And last year when we restructured our book, our restructured book stood at 9.5% of our advances. And that was, for us, a big number. So we wanted to focus on getting the restructured book back into normal portfolio quality. And we did choose to focus on collections. So we redeployed many of our sales staff into collections. And that has, you know, paid good results. Today, we have a 1,500 crore restructured book. Out of the 1,500 crores, 611 crores POS is in 1 to 90 DPD. And out of 611 crores, only 37 crores POS customers have not paid a single EMI in the last 3 months. And further, in April, out of that 37 crores, what 45% have paid. Customers who have not paid have paid. So more or less now, the restructured book is coming down and it is behaving more as per our normal portfolio. So we had redeployed all our sales people back into sales, and that has yielded strong results in March. So for small business loans, we witnessed a strong growth in March and with the highest number of 400 crores. This was primarily because of, you know, redeploying our people back. In vehicle finance, there was a strong uptick in sales. In vehicle sales are looking up. Vehicle finance has done the highest ever disbursement of 400 crores in March. And the quarter also saw a high disbursement, ever high disbursements of 950 crores. Freight rates have been stable, load availability is high. ICRA and CRISIL expect that the vehicle sales will reach pre-COVID and the all-time high peak of FY18-19. And this is because of the pent-up replacement demand, investments in infrastructure by the government, strong demand from the FMCG, FMCD and logistics sector. With the opening, with the economy opening up, we also see a strong demand for buses coming back. In microfinance, ex-bucket efficiencies were at 99% in March. In April also, they continue to be at 99%. However, we have seen some weaknesses in the districts of Erode and Tirupur. Affordable housing finance has now shown strong growth. It has now expanded to 29 branches. Apart from Gujarat and Maharashtra, we are now present in the states of Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. Business in Tamil Nadu and Karnataka has started, and AP and Telangana will go live. So in this in the current financial year, I am quite hopeful that we will bring back both our business volume growth as well as asset quality growth. Thank you. Over to Murli.
Good morning. In continuation to our earlier strategy where we discussed that product programs and segments will be the key driver for liability, I think we are continuing to see that emergence of retail participation, our segments growth and our program participation actually going up, and I think we are now at a CASA of 52%, and retail book contributing to 90 is a very significant component, and this is aided by a two-dimensional approach which we had, which we say it is a two-pronged strategy. One, acquire through digital and create a customer lifecycle management to enhance the deepening. And second is acquire through the physical and deploy relationship management structure on virtual as well as physical towards getting the deepening RV. I think both have complemented, and this has yielded one RV growth. Two, HNIs as well as mass affluence started preferring us and started deepening deeper into it. And third important thing, through digital, actually we are getting the demographic dividends of millennials and new gen copsile people, you know, started preferring us. So this is a very good story that's happening, and it doesn't stop there as an acquiring. This year we were focusing on engagement as a core thing. This year we have close to 60% of our book, which we call it as primary and active, customers interest in doing transactions. Adding to this is our TPP revenue. We have a strong franchise which is focused on distribution of third-party products. I'm happy to say that there again we clock not only in terms of revenue 40%, absolute top line of 31% also. So overall TPP top line as well as TPP bottom line, and our key focus on digital and physical is leveraging towards customer lifecycle management and engagement is going to be the key focus. On digital front, our B2C, that is our selfie range of product, and B2B2C where we have a fintech tie-up, both is showing an encouraging traction not only in terms of acquiring, we are also into payments and transaction space where prepaid, micro ATMs, and most importantly our merchant acquiring business is showing a healthy traction. So with this note we can say that deepening has yielded, most importantly, cost of funds coming down. And importantly, landed cost of funds also having an impact. And most important thing is, with 65% of the portfolio being individual, it has become more and more LCR friendly. We will discuss any further thing going forward. Thank you.
I'll hand it over to Sridhar.
Thank you, Murli. Good morning to everyone. Our net interest income came at 552 crores, as compared to 449 crores during the same quarter last year, registering a growth of 23% Y-on-Y. Other income came at 148 crores as compared to 178 crores in the same quarter last year. Reduction in other income primarily on account of lower PSLT fee income and treasury income. Net income grew at 12% Y-on-Y and came at 701 crores for the quarter as compared to 627 quarters during the same quarter last year. The total operating expenditure came at 375 crores as compared to 335 crores during the same quarter previous year. Employee expense reduced sequentially to 209 crores from 240 crores as there was a one-time reversal of excess provision for gratuity and leave salary of 30.63 crores. If you do not consider this one-time reversal, the cost of income would have been at 61.5 for the current quarter, that is Q4, as compared to 56.85 which you have reported. Cost of funds improved to 6.2% from 7.2% in March 21, an improvement of 100 bps. Pre-provisioning operating profit, that is PPOP, came at 284 crores as compared to 250 crores during the same quarter previous year, registering a growth of 14% Y-on-Y. PPOP as a percentage of assets improved sequentially to 4.35% from 3.52%. Profit after tax for the quarter came at 120 crores as compared to 113 crores during the same period last year. Now moving on to asset quality, provisions and restructuring, the outstanding restructured pool stands at 1,500 crores. Segment-wise breakup of restructuring has been provided in the presentation. The bank carries a total provision of 593 crores, which includes the NPA provision of 358 crores and standard asset provision, including for restructured standard asset, 235 crores. GNPA came at 4.06% in Q4 FY22 as compared to 4.39% in Q3 FY22 and 3.59% in Q4 FY29. NNPA came at 2.37% in Q4 FY22 as compared to 2.38% in Q3 FY22 and 1.52% in Q4 FY21. Provision coverage ratio stands at 42.73%. Credit cost for the quarter came in at 2.45% and non-RSL credit cost came in at 1.26%. During the quarter, the bank saw additions of 409 crores fresh slippages, and 70% of these additions were from the restructured pool. On the capital front, during the quarter, the bank has raised 550 crores via the QIP route. As of March 31, 2022, the CRR is at 25.16%, with the Tier 1 at 24.53% and Tier 2 at 0.63%. Lastly, our LCR improved sharply as the bank focused on improving quality of deposits. With this, I would like to hand over to operator, and we will be happy to take questions from your end. Thank you.
I will hand the conference to Mr. P.N. Vasudevan for following remarks.
Yeah. So, I am very happy to inform all of you that the board yesterday has appointed two of our senior managers, Rohit and Murli, as executive directors, which is subject to RBI and shareholder approval. All of us know that between them, they run the entire business of the bank. Further, the board has also approved the appointment of Narayan, who is the current CTO, as the CAO of the bank, and Vivek, who is currently the deputy CTO, has been elevated as CTO of the bank. This move by the board strengthens the management further and should help us focus on multiple other fronts, such as our digital initiatives, which we have just commenced, our digital lending platforms, which we want to deliver, and also look at the customer journeys across all our products and services. So that's an important announcement. I thought I'll just make it. And now we are happy to take Q&A from all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Sukriti from Laburnum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Hi. Okay, so I have two questions. My first question is on yield, which dropped by about 90 bps sequentially. Now, what was the reason for this? Was this just product mix? And how do you see this moving forward? Especially because from your initial comments, I understand that we don't get an immediate boost in yield from the interest rate hike because most of our loans are fixed.
Yeah. Good morning, Sukriti. This is Rohit here. The decrease in yields are primarily a little bit of from 17.5 to 17.2 is primarily because of our diversifying into a little bit of formal lending. In each of our products, we have introduced formal lending products which are to formal customers and they have to be given slightly lower rates. So that is the reason why you see a little bit of a drop in yields there.
Good. I was actually talking about the sequential number, which it was 18.1 last quarter. So 90 bps is also just product.
Yeah. That 18.6 to is primarily because of the new products that we have launched. After the home loan product, used cars, and formal lending to formal customers in CVs.
And how would you see this moving into the your next couple of years?
See, going forward, both the informal customer base will also increase. So the product mix will be in such a way that we don't compromise on NIMS or on our PATS. And lending to the formal customers is primarily because, you know, we also need to look at, you know, catering to that segment over a longer period of So obviously, you know, we've decided as a product mix that some of the lending will be to formal customers, and hence you see a little drop in yields out there.
Okay. So you think it stabilizes from here on, correct?
No, I didn't get the question, Sukriti.
No, you just said, I was just repeating, you said yields would likely stabilize from here.
Yes. Yields will definitely stabilize as growth happens, and I'm quite confident that we'll come back to, you know, our pre-COVID levels of 30-35% this year. So once the product mix gets right, as we amplify growth, the yields will stabilize.
Okay, and my second question is on PCR. I think, I mean, we are very below peers here. What coverage levels would you target for PCR, and how do you view it?
Yeah, Dheeraj here. So on PCR, I think like what we've been communicating in the past, we would like to bring it, you know, above 60%, but there is a journey for it to happen. What we have done is at a policy level, we have revised our norms of strengthened it over the last 2 years. And I think you put that also in the presentation. So over a period of time, through that policy measure, you will start seeing PCR inch up. What you're seeing optically PCR reduced is because we are writing off loans which are 100% provided. So that's more of an arithmetic problem which is leading to optically PCR looking low. But from policy, we are looking at increasing it. And also this quarter, if you've seen, we've tried to create some additional standard provision of about 25-26 crores, which sits above the PCR. So our intention is to buffer up provisions across standard and NP. Policy measures have got strengthened, so you should start seeing PCR move up. And lastly, like I mentioned, write-offs are leading to an optical drop in PCR because loans which are 100% provided are getting written off. So the denominator is looking unfavorable.
So Dheeraj, what we're actually, so we're saying two things for the next year. One, that PCR will go up from 43% to 60% plus, and also that we will only see about 1.1% credit cost for the year.
Yeah, so just one correction, 60% is not a next year guidance, but that is where it will eventually start moving up. As the business grows, so 60% is not something which will happen next year. And why 60% is there is because policy measures will take it up to that level. And from a credit cost of next year, we are seeing 1.5% for next year. Just for a correction, that 1.1.1.2 is the business as usual. And we're trying to factor in some of the restructuring loan which may add up. I think we've given this guidance even last quarter. So we're looking at about 1.5% credit cost for the coming year, FY23.
Perfect. These were my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Murarka from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. And sort of congratulations to everybody. So my question, so two or three questions. First, you know, once you're guiding for a 1.5% credit cost, so straight away you should be looking at a blended ROA of more than 2% for FY23. Is that a correct you know, assumption or estimation?
Abhishek, hopefully, you know, what your words come true. But yeah, so that's the thought process. As we say, the bank model should deliver a 2-2 quarter ROA and a high teen ROE. So we're all hoping that it reaches as soon as possible. But yes, with your assumptions, we should see next year at least exit of crossing, you know, 2% ROA. And we'll obviously try to replicate that for the full year if things go well.
And any understanding on cost to assets, we've seen a little bit of, you know, gradual decline there. But what would you think would be an exit or an average run rate for the next year?
Hi, Abhishek. Hi, Abhishek. Rohit here. So it's difficult to give you a guidance on what the number will be, but I can definitely tell you that the direction will be downwards.
But any target that you have, let's say either in terms of cost to income or cost to assets, that...
Yeah, Abhishek, we have targets, but anything we say now will become guidance. So from an official guidance, there is one bit. But you know, obviously, cost to assets, there are two things. One is the OPEX growth, and second is the duration of longer as we do housing and the higher ticket small business loans and new commercial vehicle. So all of that will look favorable on the cost to assets. But at this point in time, we don't want to put a number out.
Okay, sure. Because, you know, to me, it seems that instead of an exit 2%, it should actually be fairly quicker to get to that 2% if you take the improvement in both cost to assets and credit costs into account.
Yes, I'm not refuting that. You know, your model does show it, and we are also hoping that some of that come in. But just don't hold us accountable to it yet. That's the only point.
Sure. And another question on growth. So while there has been a sort of bounce back in disbursements, but if I look at MFI or even used vehicle, right, this has been an excellent quarter from a used vehicle perspective for the industry. So shouldn't the growth have been more, you know, stronger there? Or in MFI also, you know, disbursements have bounced back very sharply for everybody, but for you, it's actually down 4% QOQ. So just what's happening there and what's the, you know, thought process?
So Abhishek, as I explained, you know, that we had consciously decided not to focus on aggressive growth, but to focus on collections and to get the restructured pool back to normalcy. And that is why we had deployed a lot of our sales staff into collections. So that 9.5% was a restructured book, and we felt that it's big enough and we need to really focus on this. And that's what we've done over the year. By March, we had redeployed back all the salespeople that we had redeployed in collection. And that is why you see very strong growth in March. So going forward, yes, I do know, I do agree that used CVs have grown as an industry. We will definitely see better growth both in UCV as well as small business loans. And on microfinance, we have always guided that, you know, the MF portfolio will be at about 15% of total advances. We are working towards that.
Okay. So just to take away from that, April onwards, it will be sort of back to growth and all your, you know, sales is redeployed into sales from collection. So it should, the run rate should be much stronger.
Yes, yes, Abhishek, definitely.
Sure. Sure, thank you. Those are my questions and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Renish Bua from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks. So first question is again on the kind of, you know, watch list we provided of 37 crore. But when we look at, you know, the 60 to 90 days DPD pool itself at 140 crore, and also considering the almost 70% of the slippages current quarter flowing from the restructured pool, sir, how confident you are that this 37 crore is sort of, you know, capturing all this right in the book?
Hi, Rinesh. Rohit here again.
Yeah.
So, So, Rinesh, you know, see, all these customers who were restructured, our basic portfolio is lending to informal customers. 85 to 90% of our borrowers are first-time borrowers. They have gone through the first wave, the second wave, and the third wave. And despite going through all waves, they have now, this 37 crores worth of customers, you know, were the only customers who did not pay. And the people in 61 to 90, that 140 crore pool, these people have paid something despite all the problems, which clearly says, you know, that the intent is not bad at all. So we are quite confident. We are seeing, you know, good collections. If you look at our resolution percentages have been very strong across, you know, all three products. In small business loans, we were at 63% against a 38% pre-COVID. In VF, it was 77% against, you know, 50% pre-COVID. And in microfinance, it was 48% against 38% pre-COVID. So resolution percentages are pretty strong. That gives us the confidence that yes, all these customers, you know, they have seen the worst and they will pay. So I'm quite confident that, you know, collections, there won't be more slippages in the 61 to 90.
Out of 37, 17.
And out of this 37 crores, in April, 17 crores have paid. This 37 crores worth of customers had not paid, 17 crores have paid in April. So that is also a good indicator. Right?
Got it. So, correct. So just to follow up on that, so the current quarter slippages from restructured pool, it is fair to assume that all the stress accounts has already been flowed into PNL or maybe the asset quality metric. And the remainder of the book, we are quite confident of the asset quality performance.
Yes. See, I feel that now we need not treat the restructured book as a separate book. In fact, going forward, we should look at, you know, a total book because, you know, the restructured book is also now behaving like a normal portfolio which goes under stress in difficult conditions. So I'm quite confident that, you know, that we'll be able to get back to a lower slippages and a lower credit cost.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. So my second question is, you know, sort of repeating in nature. One thing is that on the interest income line item, if we see, there is a, you know, a 1% sequential decline versus the AUM growth of 5% sequentially. So is this due to the higher interest reversal on the 400 crore slippages or is there, let's say, what you highlighted in your opening remarks of focusing more on the formal segment and which is actually impacting the yields or it's a combination of both?
So the interest reverse impact is not high. It's most, why is there a divergence between the advances growth and the interest income? Is that most of the advances growth actually happened towards the later end of the quarter. Not to put in excuses, Jan was not very good and Feb and March was the catch-up. So that is actually, and largely like Rohit had said, March was a very, very strong month for us, which is also aided to the advances looking much stronger than the income growth. This is one. And second, yields also have come down because some of the growth has actually also happened from lower yielding products. So it's a combination of these two.
Got it. No, but maybe we can just take it offline. But 100 basis point sequential decline just because of product mix change, I'm not able to reconcile. But maybe
so
we can just take it offline.
So it is both. Don't put 90% weightage to product, but it's also that, you know, the advances growth was largely towards the end of the quarter. So you have to give weightage to that also.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations, sir, on a good quarter. I have a couple of questions. First is, this 37 crores loans, while they did not pay up for January to March, why are they not NPA or why are they still standard?
Yeah, so not all of them had their EMIs on 1st of Jan to complete 90 days. So their EMIs were due during the quarter.
The 10th Jan.
So if you take example of 10th Jan, they would not have fallen into NPA by 31st March.
Right, right. And last quarter we had shown overall SMA for the bank level. If you can share those numbers, it will be really helpful.
Yeah. As of 31st March, the 30 to 60 bucket is about 3.6% and 61 to 90 is 1.98%. And 1 to 30, while you should not put too much of importance to it, given that the nature of the segment, is about 4.8%. That's the breakup at the bank level.
Sure. Sure. And sir, now that you have given very good detail on restructuring and out of 1500 crores, 600 crores are such that they are almost zero DPD. when do they come out of restructuring tag? Because anyway, the moratorium period is over and they are behaving, you know, as usual. When does the restructuring tag goes away?
This is Sridharan here. As per the resolution 1.0 and 2.0, there's a specified period for monitoring of 1 year. If they don't slip into NPA at any point of time during that 1 year period, then it will get upgraded to standard assets from the restructure.
Right. Right. Okay, sure. And and then just to check, sir, we don't have any ECLGS outstanding and any change in the timeline for the reverse merger, or that remains as on track?
Yes.
Great, sir. Yeah. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alpesh Mehta from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just few questions from my side. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah. So the first one is, what's the rationale of creating a standard asset provision of almost 25-26 crores in this quarter? Because the way the things are shaping up, quite a few lenders are reversing the COVID provision, whereas we guys are increasing the standard asset provision. So that's the first one. Hello. Hello.
Yeah. The Sridhar in here, the rationale for creating the 26 crores as additional standards provision, because the IRAC norms requirement, you know, has come in, whereby, you know, the stress sector and other things, you know, we can look at it and other things. On a quarterly basis, we review. On that basis, this 26 crores additional standards provision has been made. And this will be reviewed every quarter, actually.
So these are the regulatory requirement related, or it's just that we have a conservative stance and we are increasing the standard asset provision?
It's our own requirement, but as guided by the IRAC norms, actually.
Okay, I'll take this off. Okay, secondly, on the cost of funds, while the system level interest rates are rising, but we have quite a few low-hanging fruits as far as reducing the cost of funds. So how do you see that? I'm not looking at the specific number aspect, but just directionally, if the system rates were to go up by around 100 basis points in FY23, what kind of an impact would you see on your cost of funds? Because considering we have the room to reduce the liability cost of funds.
Yeah, hi, Natarajan here. The immediate direct impact of CRR hike 50 basis points is around works out to around 5 to 6 basis points for our bank. And there will be incremental impact on account of liquidity tightening as well as this 40 basis points repo hike. And as Vasu was saying, we do expect another couple of hikes of 25 basis points each for the rest of the year. So going forward, we do expect the rates to slightly go up, maybe by something between 50 to 25 in the next 6 months. But that will be only on the incremental deposits, and also if you consider incremental funds, about 50% will come from CASA, which we don't see much impact in CASA funds. So the net impact, we do see maybe 10 to 15 basis points we can see a hike in what was originally envisaged.
Okay, and just a clarification, this yield thing on a sequential basis, the slippages that happened from the restructure pool, were there any restructure pool, were there any interest reversals related to that, and that could have impacted the fourth quarter yield?
Yeah, so there's no interest reversal on that restructure pool which has an impact.
Because there is the yield is quite the yield drop is quite badly here, in the sense the way it has fallen on a QQ basis, and especially in a quarter like this.
Yeah, so just for to put it in to quantify it, see in Q3 it was about 15 crores was the interest reversal, and in Q4 it's about 14 crores. So that's not a extra delta which has come in.
Okay. And just the last question would be other operating expenses now. How do you see that line item shaping up? Because over the last three quarters, we are seeing that the other operating expenses are stabilizing between 200 to 210 crores. So would this be a run rate going forward with some kind of an inflation linked to it, or there could be a higher other operating expenses than insurance? Hello.
Sorry, I'll finish. I think it's the Q4 number is slight. It's a slight aberration. So if you take a quarterly average, I think that's the number you should look at for the year. So somewhere at 220, 230 crores. And obviously this year, Q1, there would be some employee expenses which will come in. So you'll have to add that.
No, I was talking about the other operating expenses line item. Because that number since last three quarters is between 200 to 210 crores, and it seems to be stabilizing at around that level. X of employee cost.
Okay, so in our slide 17, that 148 which we have put, is that what you're referring to, the net of the digital expense?
Yes. So basically, I'm just going through the BSE release, the normal.
Okay, that is gross expenses. Yeah, that is gross expenses.
I'm talking about those gross.
Yeah, gross expenses will increase because, you know, foray into digital related expenses will come in. But like what we said, that has a that's almost pass through because there is a corresponding income. So I rather you look at what we have put in the slide in terms of operating expense, which is, you know, in Q4 last year was 112 and. Q4 this year has been 148. I think that's a reference point because it's net of that pass-through expense.
Okay, so Dheeraj, even in this case, if you look at 2Q FY22, 3Q FY22 and 4Q, all the three quarters are in the range between 145 to 152 crores, right?
Yes.
So that line which used to increase at a rapid pace, now it's been stabilizing at somewhere around 145-150. So just from a modeling perspective, should we just add little bit of inflation to this number and then?
Yes. So some of the key drivers into that was some of the large spends we did related to technology, related to digital marketing, which we have then moderated. If you look at our quarterly customer acquisition, you will see some of that impact. So now you can, it's moderated, and going forward, you can just put a slight increment to it. And not a sharp jump.
Okay, then sorry, just last question. Then in that case, at least our guidance of 2% exit ROA seems to be extremely conservative, right? Even if unless and only we are factoring in a further margin decline. Otherwise, 2% ROA exit 4Q seems to be extremely conservative at this point in time.
Yeah.
Because there is the operating leverage which is clearly visible with this kind of an OPEX growth, plus obviously credit cost decline. So unless and until obviously you do have a bigger margin drop, then it's 2% ROA seems to be extremely conservative.
No, I think point taken, like I just said, hopefully it all comes in place.
Okay, great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So the first question was with respect to restructured pool. So last quarter, we had indicated that the restructured pool was close to 1764 crore. So in the detail that we have given for this quarter, this is the outstanding number, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, sir, if you could just give me, so from 1764 to 286 has slipped to NPA already, and 37 crore will eventually slip to NPA as they have not been repaying. Fair understanding?
No, sir. So, we are not saying, you know, that 37 crores will eventually slip to NPA. I'm saying that 37 crores is at risk. Out of 37 crores, 17 crores have paid an EMI in April. So we can't really assume that entire 37 crores will go to NPA. I am just being conservative, and that is why I am saying that 37 crores is at high risk.
Okay, okay. So then we already recovered, or we got repayment of 26 crore in the last 3 months from the restructured pool. Is that the fair calculation?
No. See, 37 crores cost worth of customers did not pay a single EMI in Jan, Feb, March. But surprisingly, in April, out of the 37 crores, 17 crores have paid one EMI.
Okay.
So 20 crores is remaining.
Achha, okay. So only 20 crores. Okay. And sir, just wanted to understand the repayment in the restructured pool. Like, are the customers repaying the EMI that is expected, or they are also paying more than what is expected out of them?
It's a combination of both. Some customers are paying only one EMI. Some customers are paying one EMI and a little more to get back to normally. So we have both kinds of customers. And there are obviously some customers, as I said, who are not paid at all. So we have a combination of all three. But customers who are paying are trying to get back. And I'm very happy, you know, that whatever efforts that we have taken, it has helped this class of customers to get back into business, to increase their cash flow. So we do see a lot of customers who pay a little bit more than one EMI to ensure that, you know, the next 3-4 months they should come back in line.
Okay. And so one question was with respect to so we've seen branch additions during the quarter. So do we expect that the same momentum will continue for the next year also, like when we are adding branches?
See, there are two aspects. As we are developing a digital mode, where the onboarding as well as customer experience is taken care and it's taking care of our segments, then digital onboarding becomes a key particular parameter through which we are onboarding. Today, it contributes to 90% of our sourcing. And addition of branches at key locations will continue to happen very incrementally, because if you see, there are a lot of developments that's happening at the front end. Today, if we can ensure customers can do a do-it-yourself mode, we can complement it by a virtual RM, and then having a branch as a hub and spoke model to deepen the relationship, the incremental need for adding more location doesn't come in at this point of time. So for us to look into it, we may not need not more than 10 or 15 branches for this year. Maybe as we scale up next week, once we start exploring, and we will think about it maybe next year. So today there is an operational leverage available in all the locations where we are, and we are supporting it through digital mode.
Got it. So last two questions. One was, could we get the split of provision for this quarter of the 123 crore that we have incurred? In terms of what would be two, so 26 crore of that is towards additional standard asset provision. What would be the remaining?
Recovery provision.
Second year us.
Hi, this is Sridharan here. The breakup of 123 crores on the NPA provision write-off is on 144 crores, and standard asset provision, there is a reversal of 21 crores on account of moving from restructured to standard action.
Okay. So one last strategy related question. Like, we've always been following this strategy wherein, you know, we've asked our employees to focus on collections after a difficult environment, and then again revamp the strategy to focus on the business momentum side. So don't you think we missed out the bus in terms of market share losing or losing out good customers to competitors? Because in each of the product segments, we have been present for almost 6-7 years now, in our product bouquet. So, and if they are not able to deliver more than 20% growth, I'm just saying that, are you looking at changing that strategy? Because we lose out on the bus when the quarter is good, or when the momentum is good, or when the demand is good, we are focusing on collections probably.
See, this is not a quarterly kind of a change of strategy from the bank. Normally under normal circumstances, our portfolio quality has always been consistently very good.
all through the years from 2007 when we started, we have never had an asset quality issue ever in the company, as a company and then as a bank. So it is not like, you know, on a quarterly basis there is a change of strategy to focus on sales or collections. Last year was, last 2 years has been, you know, an extraordinary period of time. And, you know, and with when in the first wave one, when we announced a moratorium as per RBI norms, I think we have mentioned this in long time back, in many quarters back, that 97% by value of loans and 90% by value of number of customers had availed the moratorium. You know, our customers are from that kind of a financial background, that such a large number of customers avail the moratorium. And then when restructuring was to be offered last year, 9.5% of the book of customers took the restructuring. So these are really extraordinary times. And under this kind of extraordinary situations, as a prudent banker, there is no way we are going to say that we are going to close our eyes and push growth. And asset quality always has to come right on top. And that's what we did. Now the asset quality is completely back under control, and so the focus on growth will be back to normal levels. Now if you ask me, next quarter or 2 quarters down the line, will we change our stance again? My answer to you would be that if again we are hit with a once in a century kind of stuff, I don't know what I will do. But so long as we are not hit with one more once in a century kind of black swan event, then I think there's no way that things will change, and our focus on sales and collections will go parallelly. So it's only this extraordinary situation where our strategy has to also be aligned to those events. But under normal circumstances, we have never had an asset quality issue ever in the company as an NBOC or in the bank after we converted into a bank. So that's the scenario, and change of strategy will clearly be in line with some extraordinary event which may happen. But so long as such extraordinary events do not happen, I don't see any issue at all from our asset quality or growth perspective.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for the detailed answer, and good luck with the next quarter.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Murarka from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my follow-up. So, one question is, on your restructured pool, what would be the provisions you would be carrying? Hello?
Just a second.
Yeah.
Hi, it's 152 crores.
152 crores, and safe to assume that as this unwinds, so 1 year of satisfactory performance, then proportionately this provision also starts getting reversed.
Yes, sir. Actually, there is a 1 year specific period based on the performance, so it will move from restructured standard assets to the normal provision, actually.
Normal thing. Right.
Yeah.
And the same thing for this quarter, you said there's a 21 crore reversal on standard asset provisions, but that's after making another 26 crore provision for standard assets. So actually the reversal would be higher, right? It would be around 47-50 crores.
The reversal of 51 crores, as I told you, actually when there are two things happens actually. One, there's a rundown, then the restructure standard provisions comes down based on the residual debt. And second thing is that when the restructure standards move to the NPA, then the NPA provision apply as per the IRAC norm, and the restructure standards provision is reversed.
Right, right. So this is the effect of reversal of that.
Yes.
Provision.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And can you share the yields on some of your, main portfolios like MFI, SBL, SME, and vehicle?
Just to reiterate, the 150 crores is a provision on standard assets of restructuring.
Yeah, so on 1500, right? Because all of that is standard.
No, it's only on the standard. One thing.
See, we have provided the
slide where that the total 1,500 crore is the research assets. Out of it, 286 NPA. The 286 NPA comes under the NPA provision as per the IRAC norms, as per the bank policy. The remaining is 1 year, that is around 1,200 crores has a research standards provision.
Fair point. And the yields?
Just give us 1 second. So Abhishek, we'll get it included in the next quarter. It doesn't change much. I think we used to give it 2 years back. There's not been material change from that. So pardon us this time. We'll try to put it next quarter. And some of it is also competition sensitive, which is why we are a little hesitant.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking is if it is the same as 2 years back or 1 year back or whatever, then the drop in yield seems even more sort of inexplicable. And that is something I was trying to figure out.
Understood. Yeah, we'll try to get it incorporated next time on gross yields.
Yeah. Right. Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. The first question is on loan growth for next year. Now, given that the liability side is looking pretty okay, most of the asset quality challenges are also behind. What sort of number are you looking for the next fiscal year?
Hi, Abhijit. So Abhijit, as I answered this question, you know, twice only. See, it's like this. Pre-COVID, we used to grow at about 30-35%. So I'm quite confident that with all the salespeople being deployed back into sales and market looking up, we are quite geared to do a growth of about 30-35% this year. With portfolio quality is also seeming to coming back. So I'm quite confident that we'll be able to grow in all the three businesses and all the products that we have. So a growth of 30-35%, quite confident of. Hi, Abhijit.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks. Second question is for Vasu sir. In terms of the couple of appointments that you announced on the board, just wanted to get your thoughts or the views of the board in terms of what has driven this elevation, given that both of them have been with the bank for close to about 2 years or less than 2 years. So just broad thoughts on that would be really.
Yeah, basically this is a question of strengthening the management team. You know, we have elevated two people to the board, and in the IT also we have elevated the CTO to CIO and the deputy CTO to CTO. Obviously it means that below them there will be some more strengthening of people below them also. So it's basically about the entire exercise is to strengthen the management team, create a good, strong pipeline of high quality people in the system, and also enabling people to take larger roles and larger responsibilities in the bank. There's a lot of work to be done. The business as usual part of the bank, a lot of work to be done. Getting the bank future ready, again a lot of work to be done. So we need very senior people focusing both on the BAU as well as the future ready part of the bank. And these elevations are largely meant to support those exercises that we are currently undertaking, and to ensure that the bank is run efficiently on the current businesses and product lines and service lines, while we are also putting in a lot of efforts to get ourselves geared up for the future of banking as the banking model evolves going into the future. Of course, nobody knows how the banking model is going to evolve, but there's a lot of work that we have been doing internally trying to predict or trying to model what kind of modeling that will emerge. And we want to be at the forefront. We clearly want to be at the forefront of any changes that keeps happening or will happen. and we already done a few initiatives, and it's been, we have been very, very pleasantly surprised and happy to see a tremendous amount of results that we have been able to achieve in the initiatives we have taken so far. And this exercise of strengthening the management team is really to further progress on those initiatives to ensure that we have enough good quality people who can focus on future-ready part of the bank as much as on the BAU. So that's basically the thought process.
Sure. Thanks. That's very helpful. And just in terms of any timelines on the universal bank conversion that you are looking at, that's the final one.
See, on the universal bank, the guideline says that at the end of 5 years, we could apply. So there's been a lot of discussion between the association and RBI. So we are kind of, all of us are just awaiting some kind of feedback. So there's nothing much to specifically to give a feedback on that just at this point in time. We'll have to just wait for some more time to see whether we are able to get some kind of a indicator from the regulators as to how we should proceed on that.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Puneet from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Puneet, may I speak a little louder?
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. Two data-giving questions from my side. One, can you provide the segment-wise breakup of collection efficiency for SBL, vehicle, MFI? For MFI, I think you highlighted it's close to 99%. For SBL and vehicle, if you could provide that.
Yeah. So, collection, ex-bucket collection efficiencies for both SBL and vehicle finance were at 99%. In microfinance also, it was 99% in March.
Okay. Another thing, can you provide the 30 to 90 DPD breakup for all the three books?
Just a minute.
So small business loan is 5.2.
Okay.
Commercial vehicles is 7.8.
Yeah.
Microfinance is 6%.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side.
The next question is from the line of Rainish from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. Again, one question on the operating leverage part. I mean, if we look at the annualized cost of asset in Q4, adjusted for that 30 crore, it works out to be 6.5 odd. And now, sort of considering the kind of digital capabilities we have in place, and also considering that the large part of investment towards building that platform is over, and again, having a liability customer base of 2 million plus. Sir, at the strategic front, what is our cross-selling, upselling strategy? And what sort of operating leverage you expect over the next couple of years?
Yeah, that's a good question. Today, like you are saying, liability, customer, asset, customer, we want to see customer as one universe and want to develop a data-centric approach and propensity-based model. Okay, that data warehouse and data methodology has just started. And as you know, data decoding and recoding is the most difficult part. So we are getting into a lot of science behind it. So we are looking at cross-sell and upsell at a customer level at every incremental opportunity. Today, how we are doing it is, for example, a liability customer, you sell protection or investment or trading. Now we have expanded that to used vehicle as well as gold loan. Now we are expanding that gamut of product by the incremental approach through digital. So we have tied up with HDFC bank credit card. So that white label card is also coming into picture. We have our own affordable housing. So the propensity-based model is going to be an ongoing exercise, and it is going to be a defined approach where a cross-sell team will be dedicated in promoting this cross-sell at a defined percentage. Those percentages we can't disclose now, but the work has started on qualifying based on propensity approach.
Maybe if you can just throw some light in terms of what is the team size, how the lead generation happens, and ultimately how it is closed.
See, today the team size is, we are leveraging on the existing manpower, which means we have a lead management system through which we actually do the propensity and earmark directly to the relationship managers or the branch managers. They execute the cross-sell and we fetch the data from the back. So for monitoring and measuring, we have a six-member team as a cross-sell, which we want to take it up to, say, another six more people with a data specialist included in that core particular team.
And do you feel, this kind of a cross-selling upselling will need a separate manpower, or you're confident that...
It doesn't need. It only enhances the incremental productivity of the existing manpower. See, increasingly, earlier it used to be a cross-sell team used to be a different in traditional bank, and new to bank will be a different. So, as a platform-centric, and as I said at the first point, if you have customer-centric model and your engagement and CLCM and the propensity is based on that, then you don't need incremental manpower. You will get enhanced productivity out of. So that's why all our campaigns today this year are bundled campaign. It is not a one product campaign. It's a customer centric where two twinning or three product together is given, so that the discussion at the front end becomes more and more relevant.
Got it. And sir, any rough mathematics, like say assuming a product per customer increases by 20% in FY23. Kind of a benefit we get on the leverage side? I mean, does that also mean that my cost to asset will also come down by 25%? Yeah. Because most of the customer acquisition cost will already be there in the P&L. I mean, how does one look at it?
See, PH greater than 2, that is 2 product holding is we have 28% of the customer, and which we want to take it up close to 34%. PH 3, okay, that is going to be the next level on the math book. So PH3 is going to be a very critical indicator where a customer is assigned a resource. We are looking at same 24% what we are there. So which means the ATS and the RV growth, moment a customer crosses 2, multiplies by 1.5 to 1.8x. Assume you have 10 lakhs, it goes up to 15 or 18 lakhs at the relationship value. And automatically this will take us towards the profitability also. So we have given that product penetration also. So we are looking at, 34% of our base having 2 or more product holding from our bank platform.
And what is that number currently? You said 20%.
24,
okay.
And it will be a dynamic base. It will not be on a static base.
Yeah. Correct. Got it. That's cool, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. And now hand the conference over to Mr. P.N. Vasudevan for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all. Thank you so much for being with us today, and looking forward to your continued support to Equitas, and wishing you all the very best. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Equitas Small Finance Bank Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.